Time we're going to turn to the reading of the scripture, and we're really grateful to Michelle Hahn today for sharing that with us.
James 1, 13 through 18. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture.
Welcome. As you can tell, I'm not in the sanctuary anymore. We decided that filming this outside was just perfect for this sermon series that they're beginning, and I'm going to tell you why in just a little bit. But first of all, I wanted to tell you what I did last Saturday, or actually what I didn't do last Saturday, the last two Saturdays. I've taken the opportunity to do absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing work-related, and I really didn't do anything. I slept until I woke up in the morning, then my husband and I enjoyed breakfast on the porch with the birds singing outside. We just sat and talked, we let the dishes sit on the table, and then we sat in some comfortable chairs, we played a game together, and we just hung out. Then later in the morning, I took a walk, I did some exercise, I read a book, I picked up a real book and I read it. Later that day, I power washed the deck. Now that may not sound relaxing to you, but I love to power wash. There is something about sweeping back and forth as you're watching the water just beat against the boards and the siding and you watch the dirt just float away. I find that incredibly relaxing. Everybody has different tastes. Then in the evening, both Saturdays in the evening, my husband and I built a fire outside and we sat around and we watched the sparks just drift up to the stars. I leaned back and I turned to my husband and I said, "Hey, rest is best." We're in a new sermon series this week and we're calling it This Pandemic Life. All of you are acutely aware of the fact that our lives today are fundamentally different than our lives of several weeks ago. We're having to learn new things. We're having to learn a new way to be. All of us are learning a new way to work. Everything's changed. We even have to figure out how we find rest, relaxation. The Christians would call it Sabbath during this time. It's just as important to learn how to do that as it is to learn how to do all of the other things. For everybody, it's different. If you're a parent, you have children all the time now, 24/7. There's no going to school. There's no going to daycare. They are in your house all the time, and you're trying to figure that out, and rest is elusive at best. If you're single, you're home alone a lot more often. You might even be feeling lonely, and you're trying to figure out why you're not more rested when there isn't as much to do. We're all having to learn new ways to work, new ways to be. Some of you are having to do shift work, where you're going in a day and you're home a day, or you're going in for a week and then you're home for a week. Some of you are having to learn how to manage all of the Zoom meetings. Some of you are even in a more difficult position, and you don't have work right now, and that's causing its own anxiety, and you're not really sure what to do about that. And can I tell you? We're with you. Everything is new. We're learning new ways to be in relationship with one another. We're learning new ways to be family together. This is our new normal. And we're trying to figure out how to do it productively and lucidly and restoratively. Now, I would like to tell you that I have this Sabbath thing down. But the truth is, you may have heard, I had to practice it for the last two Saturdays. I'm not that great at it. Sometimes I find myself during the week looking like this. Now don't laugh. I've seen some of you on Facebook, and I know you can completely relate to me. Oh, I try to take the Sabbath. But I find myself sneaking looks at my email. I find myself planning the work for the next week or working on a writing project. I try not to include the other people in my office, but it's just so tempting to step in and start doing the work. You would think that with the country on lockdown, I would relax more, but I'm actually finding myself more vigilant than ever about the work that I do. Now, I love my job, but everyone needs a break from time to time. I'm not alone in this experience. Many of you have expressed this to me. You're telling me that you're more tired, you're more stressed, you're more anxious. Everyone, from parents who are working with young children, to young adults with new jobs, to empty nesters who have discovered that working at home actually allows you to work more hours than you used to. There was a study done on COVID behaviors, obviously a very recent study, and the study found that the average workday has increased by 40%. 40%, that is 3 extra hours a day, and that's across the U.S. Now, all of the work leads to more stress, more anxiety. You're more tired. You're even prone to extreme bouts of crankiness. There is another study that a psychiatrist did, and she says, these days we are all a little meaner. It's making people irritable and quicker to anger. I know I can relate to that a little bit. I wish I couldn't, but I am finding myself with a little bit of a shorter fuse. She says, when you give people high anxiety, when you give them a lot of sadness and loss, irritability is often a symptom. Friends, that's a world we're living in. Sadness, loss, anxiety. We have to figure out how to take care of ourselves and of each other. It's real. We're all doing hard things right now. It's hard to be a teacher if you've never trained for it. It's hard to do a meeting with a newborn in the next room. It's hard to graduate in your backyard. And it's hard not to hug your friends when you see them. It's tempting to let the bad behavior win. Temptation is a little bit of what we want to talk about today. Temptation is what James was talking about when you heard the scripture this morning. James says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Now, when we hear that word temptation, what we usually think about is sin. Temptation and sin go together. And when we think about those two words, we think about the big ones, like murder and stealing and adultery. But temptation can be so much more subtle than that. This pandemic life is surfacing new temptations. I've talked to people living alone who are finding themselves resentful of people that are living with families. I've talked to people with families who are finding themselves resentful of people living alone. We're being tempted to covet other people's lives. Then there's another temptation. It's the temptation of thinking you're not doing enough. You're not enough in all that you are. All you have to do is go on Facebook or some other social media platform and look at the stories. There's the stories about the people that are making all the perfect loaves of bread. And they're baking and they're putting them together and they're wrapping them beautifully and they're driving them to their friends' houses. And there's these beautiful pictures of them running up to the doorbell, ringing it, and leave a perfectly wrapped package there. There is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with baking your own bread. Go for it if that's something you want to do. But some of you are feeling guilty about not doing that. You don't even know what yeast is and you've never made bread in your life. And you're feeling guilty because you're still buying white bread in a bag. There's a temptation to think you're not enough. I talked to a young mom the other day, and she said, I'm working really hard at the school thing. Like, I'm trying to keep them occupied for 6 hours a day. I'm doing my best, but by the end of the day, I find myself losing my temper. And it never ends in a great experience. And I said, relax and take a breath. You don't have a master's in education like your children's teachers do. No one but you is expecting you to keep your children fully occupied with school for 6 hours a day. That's something that you put on yourself. I want to encourage you to look realistically at what you're expecting yourself to do. I know there's a real temptation to look at the social media or listen to the people around you and think, I'm not doing enough, I'm not enough. But you are enough. Friends, we need a break. But how are we to find one? We're living on top of one another right now, and schedules seem to be non-existent. Let me tell you something about this pandemic life. Rest is not only best, it's essential for all of us. Stick with me, because I know some of you are tempted to turn off the live stream right now, and you're thinking, she doesn't understand my life, she doesn't know that I don't have time to take this rest, I just can't do it. But honestly, it's important, and you can do it. You can do hard things. I know many of you. As I told you, I'm not great at Sabbath. That's why I had to practice for 2 Saturdays. But I am telling you, I'm committing to doing it again this coming Saturday. And I want it to become a part of my life. Now, why would we do that? Why am I insisting that you take this rest or this Sabbath? It's important to embrace God's concept of Sabbath, to take a real rest. God has given us really clear instructions about this from the very beginning of the scripture. You remember the beginning of the creation story. God takes 6 days and creates the world. Here's the end of that story. On the 6th day, God completed all the work that God had done. And on the 7th day, God rested. God rested from all the work that God had done. God blessed the 7th day and made it holy because on it, God rested. 6 days, God creates the world. 6 days, God works really hard, creates some amazing things. But on the 7th day, something different happens. On the 7th day, God says, I just am going to stop and enjoy this. I'm going to rest. And God created all of this beautiful creation for us to stop and enjoy on the 7th day. Now, Sabbath doesn't have to be on the 7th day. It's just important that you understand the concept of Sabbath. And listen, that wasn't the last time God gave us instructions to rest. You fast forward in the Bible, the children of Israel are now wandering around in the desert. They have been in captives in Egypt. They escaped from that. Moses helped them. They crossed the Red Sea. But now they're 40 years in the desert. They're tired. They're anxious. They're having to adapt to a new way of life. Does this sound familiar to you? And God looks at them and says, I need to help them. I need to give them hope. I need to give them a way to rest so that they're rejuvenated for the rest of the days. And so God gives them a commandment. This is the commandment. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the 7th day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. Now listen to this. Don't do any work on it. That's one of the Ten Commandments. It's a commandment. It's not just a suggestion or a thought. It's a commandment. It's clear that rest is important, not only to restore the body, but to enjoy the world around you. Right now, this seems harder than ever. Right now, we're stuck with anxiety and worry, and so we're finding it harder to take those breaks. But I want to offer you 3 types of rest that I think you might find helpful. The first is the most obvious one. It's the rest of sleep. We all know that sleep is important. Sleep is how our bodies restore and recover. It's how our brain rests and thinks better after we have the sleep. All the experts agree that getting consistent, high-quality sleeps improves virtually all aspects of our health. Many of you know this. Here are some things that sleep does for us. Sleep empowers our immune system. Less sickness. Sleep heightens our brain functioning, clearer thinking. Sleep enhances our mood. We're nicer. Sleep improves our mental health, which means we're more joyful. Sleep does all these things, but many times we have a hard time falling asleep or staying asleep, or even taking the time to go to sleep. I encourage you to do some of your own research. It's all over the internet, and make sure you go to a reputable site, but there is good work out there, and it is important to actually sleep. Here are three things that are key. All of the studies say this. Number one, stop your screen time an hour before you try to go to sleep. I know it's hard, but the studies tell us that that's really important. Number two, exercise. Exercise. When you exercise, you're sending signals to your brain that says, hey, you've worked really hard, and now you can take a rest. Number three, breathe. Breathe deeply and completely. I know that might sound silly, but many of us don't take time to take a deep breath in. So you might practice this four-count breathing thing where you breathe in for four counts, and then you hold it, and then you breathe out for four counts, and you hold it, and you just repeat that pattern. And the repetition and the oxygen that's flowing to your brain is helping you, and it will help you sleep. Find out how you can get a better night's sleep. Number two, something we've already covered a little bit, is the rest of Sabbath. Our worldview of work holds work up as a badge of honor. Work is something we were created to do and something that we were meant to do. We have even been taught that the more invaluable we make ourselves at work, the more secure that we are, the safer we are in the world. But God said, take a Sabbath. God didn't say, don't ever work. God said, work, then take a Sabbath. So how do you reconcile the two, this work and this Sabbath thing? Here's the thing. We often view keeping the Sabbath as a bonus to God, like, look what I'm giving you today, God. Here is my Sabbath for you. But if you'll remember, it is a commandment. It's not just a suggestion, and here's why. God gives us permission to rest because God knows we're really hardworking people. And our tendency is to keep on working and working and working until it's done. And you know what I know? It's never done. The work is always there. So God said, stop. Take a rest on the seventh day. And I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to the parents that are raising children. I'm talking to the retired people who are spending more time volunteer working now than they ever did at their other job. Sabbath is meant to be a blessing after the hard work. It's meant to be a gift. Jesus talks about the Sabbath in Mark. He says, the Sabbath was made for man and woman, not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath isn't a punishment. It's a gift. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. The same people who would never consider murder or stealing regularly break the Sabbath. But imagine having a mind that is less occupied and less worried. Imagine being able to interact with your family and your friends and your work with a calm mind. God created the rest of Sabbath so that we could rest and rejuvenate both our physical selves and our emotional and mental selves. Now, I just need to pause for 1 minute here. If you are a parent with children at home that need regular care, you're probably saying to me, parenting is a 24-hour-a-day job, and it is. And I get that. I've been a parent. I remember what it's like. I am not telling you to leave your children and go take a nap. I am telling you, try to figure out how you can have a break. If you are parenting with a partner or a spouse, talk to them about how you can each have some time. If you are quarantined with another adult, talk about how you can have time. If you're a parent of older children, help them understand the importance of rest and Sabbath for everybody. You might have a PJ day all day long. I don't know what you're going to do, but it is not a suggestion. It's a commandment, and that means it's something that we should figure out. The question is, how do we do it? Well, that leads me to the number three, the rest of creativity. One of the ways to rest and to restore yourself is through creativity. Now, I don't mean all the arts things, although that's part of it. Creativity is really interesting. Creativity is taking the things that you dream about, your daydreams and your thoughts and your wishes, and turning them into reality. Daydreaming is when you think, one day I'm going to climb Mount Everest. Daydreaming is when you think, I'm going to write the great American novel, but you never do anything about it. Creativity is when you take the dreams that you have and you use them towards creativity, towards thinking, and towards creating something in the world. Creativity helps you think better. Studies show that creative people are better able to live with uncertainty because they can adapt their thinking to allow for the unknown. That's a big sentence, but listen to this. Creative people are better able to live with uncertainty. Think COVID, think pandemic life. And they can adapt their thinking to allow for the unknown. Think, how do we move forward? There's so much unknown in our lives right now. Creativity is going to help you with that. When we create, we feel good. We don't create for others. We create for ourselves and for God. One of the ways that I'm creative is I play the piano. You will never hear me play the piano in public. I'm not that good, and I don't want the pressure of being that good. I just like to hear the notes, and I like to try the songs. So I play at home. I play for myself. I'll play in front of my husband and family sometimes. But after I do that, I find my brain is calmer. I find that I feel a little bit accomplished. I find that I can go about my next tasks thinking more clearly and in a different way. Creativity isn't always about the arts. Creativity is about how you figure out how you're going to think and do things a little bit differently. It's about gardening and computer programming and woodworking. I asked you all for some slides of how you've been creative these last couple of weeks, and here are some of the pictures. I want you to take a look at and enjoy. Look at the variety of things that are up there. So go be creative. Use power tools or sing a song, write a poem or rewire a circuit, but do something that is creative for you. Rest really is best. There is a real connection between being tired and giving in to temptation. There's a connection between feeling despair and giving in to temptation. A rested and restored person is better equipped to resist temptation, but more importantly, you become temptation resistant. You don't even notice the temptation. This week, I want to give you two challenges, a little challenge and a big challenge. You get to decide which one you want to do. Now, don't be given to the temptation of saying, I can't, or you don't understand my life. Remember, Sabbath is a gift and a commandment. So here's the little challenge. Find some time this week. Find an increment of time. Maybe it's 30 minutes. Maybe it's 4 hours. Maybe it's an hour. I don't know what it is, but find some time and take a real rest, a real mini Sabbath, and do something creative in it. You might take the time and sit and meditate. You can figure out what you want to do to rest. Remember, I said power washing was a rest for me. Figure out a time to do it. Just take a few minutes. And if you can't take a whole Sabbath day, take a mini Sabbath. Here's the big challenge, and a lot of you can do this. Take an entire day of Sabbath. The entire day, like I've been practicing. I can tell you that it's highly worth it. Really try it. Here's some guidelines. No vocational work is done, none, during the day. You can spend time with family and friends at it safely, and if that's something that gives you rest, be creative in some way and rest your body. When I was in Israel a couple of years ago, a group of us went out one evening. We were going to go get dessert and coffee. It was very exciting. We went in, took the train into the city, and went into a restaurant. And I noticed that on the menu, it said they had chocolate croissants. I love chocolate croissants. That's one of my favorite things, and I never get them. So I ordered a chocolate croissant, and the waiter looked at me and said, oh, I'm sorry. We don't have chocolate croissants. And I said, but it says on your menu you have chocolate croissants. Why don't you have chocolate croissants? I was a little sad, hopefully not irritable. And the waiter looked at me and said, oh, our baker is a devout practicing Jew. And this is the Sabbath. And he didn't make chocolate croissants before the Sabbath that lasted through. So we don't have any. Here's what's really interesting. The world did not stop spinning because I didn't get my chocolate croissant. I was not even irritated that I didn't have my chocolate croissant. The point is, What you don't accomplish during your rest is not going to stop the rest of the world from spinning. What you will accomplish during your rest is restoration of your body. You're going to rejuvenate yourself. You're going to relax. And then you're going to step into the next day in a better frame of mind. You're going to be more joyful. You're going to be kinder. That's what I noticed about myself when I took that break. I was tempted to not do it. But all day long, I kept reminding myself, nope, you're in the Sabbath. Take it. And at the end of the day, it was better. At the end of the day, I found that I could slide into it much more easily. The second one was easier than the first one, and I imagine the third one will be easier than the second one. Friends, God created the Sabbath for us. It is a gift and a commandment. My prayer for you is that you discover what it means to rest and restore so that you can go out into the world and be the person that God created you to be. Amen.